Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, taking you up until 9 o'clock. Glad you could be with us on this Monday evening, a little later for you, about an hour later. But what the heck, you know, I mean, we're here, kind of dance our way through the Panthers and the Heat. But you know what? I thought what a special night this was, being our first show of the new year. And I was sitting there the other day and I was going through a lot of stuff. And, you know, I have all this things that I come across something from 1967, University of Southern California. And I had a picture, and there he is, Phil Kruger, on the staff of John McKay, University of Southern California. He went on to be a head football coach at Fresno State and Utah State, was assistant in Illinois, and then joined McKay with the Tampa Bay Bucks and from the infancy. And, you know, when you're a child of a football coach, sometimes it's not the easiest world to live in, or a wife. You're moving all the time. You're on the road, you know, here and there. Dad's got a job here. He's got a job there. But Christy Kruger kind of lived that fantasy life of being, you know, a girl with a father who was a football coach. And certainly, you know, either you love it or you don't. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Matthew Stafford and his four daughters and how they're, you know, kind of embracing what he does. And I thought, wow, what a neat story this is. A lot of people, you know, watch Christy every day for the last decades and probably never even knew that she went through this life, but certainly we did. And we had her father, Phil, great guy, on the show a few times in the past, and we welcome Christy on this evening. Christy, first of all, happy new year to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I thought, well, what a great story this is that a lot of people don't even know.
Yeah. Well, happy new year to you as well. I know I talk about him every once in a while on the air, but yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't know that I grew up in a football family. I actually kind of wanted to be a football player when I was younger until I realized that was probably not in the cards. But yeah, it was interesting to be a football coach's daughter. But it was good on Mondays when they won, not so good on Mondays if they had a loss. Because a lot of Monday, you know, morning quarterbacks out there, a lot of teachers and students who thought they knew more than my dad. And I had to listen to that on Monday. So you got a tough skin, got a thick skin after a while.
You know, but your dad, when you look at it, he was part of history. And we talked about this when I had him on the show, when Kim Bocamper and I talked to him about him helping Bear Bryant, he and Coach McKay helping Bear Bryant get the first African-American football player to Alabama. Because, as Absolutely. You know, your dad had the wild bunch, you know, the big defensive ends with Al Cowlings, who we kind of know now from, you know, from the Bronco chase, but he had him on the line with some really good football players. Talk about that, because I think, you know, being, you know, a football coach is great, but being part of that history, especially during times where, you know, African-American football players weren't welcome in some of the Southern universities.
It was, I mean, I think that was something my dad was most proud of. I mean, that's what he was really all about. It was about the team and, you know, making good men out of these young men, his players. And yeah, he did recruit AC, as you know, and he did take a team. He was one of the assistants with John McKay when they went into Alabama, and they just killed Bear Bryant's team. And so that all of a sudden made the folks in Alabama realize, okay, we need to open our eyes and allow African-Americans on our team. And my dad had actually recruited one player, and McKay went to him and said, you know what, we're going to give him to Bear. We're going to give this guy to Bear. And, and that was the kind of relationship that McKay had with Bear Bryant. In fact, when I'm thinking of my dad, I think of my dad as probably up there with Bear and McKay. And McKay's got a cigar in his mouth, and they're looking down and watching all of us down here and maybe kind of shaking their heads at how football's going these days. But, you know, it was a great time. And certainly there were a lot of changes being made back in the 60s and 70s in football, and he was a part of that.
Yeah, and you probably don't remember a lot when he was at Utah State or Fresno State, but you did probably know more about it when he was with the NFL and spent the years at Tampa Bay. Obviously, you grew up in Tampa Bay. You went to Plant High School and then became a Gator along the line. I know you live in – talk about those days, because those were really lean days in Tampa. I mean
– Those were tough. I do remember my dad had two stints at Utah State, once in his assistant coach when I was not even born yet. Then he went to Fresno State, and that's where I was born. But when he was at Utah State the second time, he was a head coach, and I do remember those days. But then he came from Utah State when I was in sixth grade. We moved. He was the first assistant coach hired by McKay. And those worst to first days were not so much fun. I mean, it was so frustrating, and you get to get so close so many times and have so many great players and just never be able to get the W was very difficult. And as I mentioned, here I am going to school, and I mean, the bus drivers, the kids on the bus, I mean, people can be pretty brutal when you're losing week after week after week. Then the first win comes, and you're a hero all over again. But I enjoyed the Buccaneer days. They had their ups and their downs, mostly downs. But it paid the bills, which is a good thing. And I just love football. And I loved watching my dad on the sidelines and enjoying the team. And he had great stories about players and things he had done for the players. And I'm just very proud of the career that he had.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's probably kind of interesting for your mom, too. Your mom grew up in the state of Washington, and she is finding herself in Tampa. And I know Kathy's been – she's been a trooper through the years. I mean, obviously, she followed him around and certainly has, been your right hand for a lot of years.
It's very difficult for families, especially in college, because of all those months that they're recruiting. I can remember my dad leaving shortly after Christmas, and we wouldn't see him for weeks at a time. It was just my mom and me, because he was on the road, doing the visits to different players, and then the players would come to our house. And I can remember him downstairs in our house in Utah, meeting with the different players as they came into town. But you're right. My dad, when he moved to Tampa, he actually came to Tampa, bought a house, and my mom was left behind in Utah to pack everything up and get the furniture and move us cross country. So she was definitely a trooper, and I suspect most football wives have had similar paths. It may be a little bit easier these days. There's a little more money in the game than there was back then, but certainly the wives and the families of football coaches, it's a tough time. I mean, look how many coaches have gotten fired in the last couple of days, and those families are having to pick up the pieces and figure that they're going to be moving their family somewhere.
No doubt. A few more dollars involved these days than there were then, obviously.
Yeah.
So you can suck it up a little bit.
You can. But, back when my dad was at USC, I mean, we talk about NIL now and all of that kind of stuff. But, it wasn't kind of uncommon back then to get the alumni involved and have them give players, quote unquote, jobs. But back then it was kind of to help put food on the family table and maybe get clothes on the backs of some of these kids who were coming from nothing. So it's there's a lot more money involved. And I think that's where my dad would probably be rolling over in his grave. He didn't like the business as much as he liked the X's and O's.
No doubt. How did Troy become a Green Bay Packer fan? Is that a long story or
I don't know what I think he latched on to Brett back in the Brett Favre days, and he never let go. Yeah, that's my son Troy, and he's in Houston now, and working and has a wife and a child. But yeah, he's been a big Packer backer, cheesehead here for a while, and thus our family enjoys that team. Of course, we cheer for the Dolphins, we cheer for the Buccaneers, but right now we only have one team going into the playoffs this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, you do. Well, listen, you got the Gators to look forward to in the future. And
Chrissy,
I can't thank you enough.
Worse than last year.
Happy New Year to you. All the best. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's great. You know, I figured, you know, all the pictures that I've sent you of Dad, you know, throughout the years, and be growing up a USC fan. I kind of like, you know, I mean, I felt kind of an attachment to him. And like I said, great man.
Thank you.
Enjoyed talking to him. And again, have a good New Year to you and your family.
Have a great
congratulations.
New Year as well.
Congratulations on your daughter, Kelsey.
Yep.
And
she's having a baby as well. Yep, got babies coming next year.
Good for you. Chrissy, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Chrissy Krueger from Channel 10 right here, WPLG. I'm telling you, a great story with her dad. Her dad, great guy, and part of history when it comes to recruiting as far as getting the first African-American player to Alabama when he was at USC. And it was a fun talking to her, and certainly a lot of people who watch the news every day had no clue where she came from or what happened during her time growing up. But how about that? You know, that's a great story as well.